This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church, the DeSoto County campus, the fun church in Horn Lake, Mississippi. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.
Somebody got a hallelujah in this place.
Hallelujah.
I mean, y'all know before the Passion Church, it says full gospel church. Full gospel. We understand the full message of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, what His desire for us is. We have a real relationship with Jesus, right? We ought to be coming to church more excited than we are. I'm telling you. This is the time. You were called for such a time as this. You know that? God knows what time it is. We need to know what time it is. We better check our wrist. This is the time for which we were called. You only get one life, and we need to give it all to Jesus. Do you think Jesus is worthy of our highest praise? Well, let's give Him a hand clap. Let's give Him a shout. Has He been good to you? Let Him know right now. Stand to your feet and just exercise a little bit. Somebody do some jumping jacks. We're going to have to start doing calisthenics before we get here. Come on, somebody, come on. Somebody do the leg like this right here, you know what I'm saying? All right, all right. Because you know your feet is on top of the devil's head, right? That's where it's supposed to be. If you're letting him get up from where he's supposed to be, then that's why you got problems. You got to put the devil under your feet. You got to remember that we're more than conquerors in Him who loved us. More than conquerors in Him who loved us. We are God's chosen generation. We're God's special people. We're His masterpieces. We were called for this time right here. Let's awaken. Come on, church. All right. Woo! I don't know about you, but I'm tired of getting beat down. Man, do you know what it took me to get here today? Last week I had COVID, I had strep throat, and I had the flu diagnosed all at the same time. And I still would have been here if I wouldn't have been afraid to, y'all would be mad at me for being here. You can be seated. I missed y'all, and I'm ready to get back at it. I'm ready to be in a church that understands what time it is. It's ready. Whew. I'm sweating. Praise God. Praise God. I need one of them hankies.
Yes, sir.
You know, wipe myself all night. All right. You know, there used to be some excess in the past, but I'd rather have excess than no cess. I'd rather have wildfire than no fire. Come on!
Amen.
We are a full gospel church. We come to give God our full best when we get here. Woo! I may not feel like I got nothing to give, but I can give a hallelujah. I can shout with my whole heart. I might not can sing good, but I can make a joyful noise. Because our God's special. This world needs our God. This world needs to see our God in us. If we're going to carry something, let's carry Jesus Christ. If we're going to carry something, let's carry the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's bear that cross so that we may bear that victory to this dark and dying world, that we may bring the light to the hopeless. Come on, y'all. Well, I was just going to start today and tell you how special you are to the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, you special. Yeah, who said real special? Look at him and say, you real special. You are. Ephesians 2:10 says you are God's masterpiece. You are special to God. You know what? God has high expectations for you. I want to let that sink in. I don't know where you are in relation to this church. You know, sometimes there was for many years I just would go to churches every now and then. I really had no relationship, didn't understand what God was trying to do at all in my life. But you may come to this church and you say, well, I'm not really part of the church, but I'm just going, you know, every now and then. I'm not really giving or involved or anything, but that's okay because they don't mind. I'm just, you know, I'm not in yet. I got my toe in maybe, but I'm not all in, you know. I ain't made up my mind. Let me say this. You're not here by accident. None of you are here by accident. And if you're here, it's because God put you here. He asked you to come here. And if God put you here and asked you to come here, it's because you have gifts and talents that He gave you that He's trying to engage, that He has a plan for. You may say, well, I don't know what I do. I don't really have anything. I'm just kind of coming. You know, I've never been an outgoing person. I've never been involved in really anything. Well, now is the time. Now is the time to understand that God has a special plan for you, you special people. There is not one person here any lower in God's estimation than another. There's not one little me, little I, in this place. We are all God's chosen people. And we all have gifts that God would like to see us use, that God would like to stir up in us so that we could begin to understand how really, truly important we are to the work of Jesus Christ on this earth. Yes, you. You. You say, well, I'm going to get involved. I might need to start. If you see lack around this church, if you see empty seats, if you see something ain't getting done that you wish was getting done, you see some areas of the church, you say, man, why can't we have a church like so-and-so? Why can't we do the things that so-and-so do? Why can't we have a building like so-and-so? Why can't we do this or that? It's because not everybody in here understands that you are special to this church and it ain't gonna get done without the gifts that God has given you. You say, but I don't have much to give. You don't know. You do. And what you do with what you were given might just free up somebody else to stop having to carry such a heavy load so that they can do what they've been given. I've always said the need is in the seed. And when we begin to understand that as a church and everybody plants and everybody gives, then we will have everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. This church will flourish just like it's designed to do. You think God's playing about this church? This church has been here for over 30 years. You think he's not serious about this church? That we're destined to just whittle away? That God's lost interest in this church? He's saying, you're my remnant. You're the ones that stuck and stayed. You're the ones that's still here. You're the ones who have, some of you have given so much. You're saying, I can't give no more. I'm not talking to you. You understand how special and important you are. But I'm saying, if we would all come together and act like God's chosen people, together. That's the only way it's going to get done. And oh, God has a plan. If you've been here any time, you know that God has told us what to do. But He's not going to do it for us. You are important to God. Every one of you. Every one of you. Some of you don't realize it. But there's more. Some things in your life ain't working right. Could it be that you got your priorities in the wrong place? You know, God has always asked for the first fruits. God didn't say, give me your leftovers. God didn't say, just show up when you can and I'll be happy with, you know, your leftovers. You know, once a month will be good. We'll start there. No, God has always said, give me your very best. Give me the first fruits. Don't wait until you feel like it. Don't live by your flesh. Give me your very best to what I've called you to do. And then everything else will fall in line. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What don't we understand about that? Is that hard to understand? The kingdom of God is where God rules and reigns and the thing he's building here on the earth. And in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. First. And everything else will be added. But what happens when we're seeking first other things? Well, you know, I got to get myself together. I got to get my portfolio together. I got to get my retirement ready. I got to get my stuff. I got to keep up with the Joneses. I only got a 55-inch TV, Pastor. I need one of those 86-inch TVs. Was it? I think they're in the 90s now. But if you'll seek God first, if you'll build his kingdom, he won't have a problem with getting you that 96-inch TV. You build his kingdom, he'll build yours. But if you want to go on and build your kingdom at the expense of God's kingdom, I've tried it. Don't work good for me. I always get tired of my stuff, you know? My stuff ain't big enough. My desires are not big enough for what God has put in my heart to do. When I just begin to concentrate on getting me stuff and building my stuff, it seems like such a small little thing compared to what God has called us to do. And I keep coming back to, man, we got to get together. We got to do this. It was all I could do to get here today. I've been under such intense spiritual warfare. You know, God prunes before he makes things grow. I don't want to be pruned. God waits till we come to the end of ourselves before he'll build what he's going to build. And I'm telling you, if I've ever been to the end of myself, it's right here today. I can't do this. I can't do it by myself. I'll try. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, because I look out there and the ones that are here, ones already understand this. And you know what we are? We're tired and we're weary. I understand. Me too. We're tired, we're weary, we're wore out. And I keep waiting for the refreshing. Keep believing. But maybe God's waiting on us. Maybe if we could do anything right, we could just worship him, you know? Maybe we could just acknowledge who he is. I can't imagine he wanting to move in a church where we're just going through the motions in our worship. If we could just start with the basics, that's what we boil down to. You know, we've stopped life groups. We've stopped next step classes. I said, you know, I feel like God's saying, we just need a break. We need a break. This church needs to be revived. This church needs to get their soul back strong. We've stopped everything. We're just basically doing Sunday services. But we can't stop worshiping. We've been broke down, okay? God's got to take these ashes and build something. But I know he can. I know that's what he does. I know that's what he does. And so, let's just focus on that for a while. We're just having Sunday services. But when we come, can we come and just really concentrate on lifting up the name of Jesus? Just, I'm going to love you, Jesus. I'm just getting back to the basics of the basics. I'm just going to love you with my whole heart. And I think out of that reconnection, that spiritual fire, then everything else we need will begin to happen. Our want to will begin to happen again. Our desire to serve, our desire to love and to help each other and to grow this church and to build this kingdom will come back. I don't know. It's just coming to me. Is that what we need to do? Can we do that much? Can we come to church on Sunday with a heart to worship? I mean, he's been so good to us. You know, my problem, you're going to tell everybody after the service, is pastor just only sees the negative. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hadn't been the leader that I need to be. I'm sorry I have been. Angie's probably telling me, Pastor, just go on and do something else. It was everything I could do to get here today. I need some help. I need your prayers. I need some encouragement. I need to at least know that we're going to worship God when we get here. I know we'll be all right if we can do that. You know, one time I preached up here with a hole in my pants. Y'all, some of y'all might remember a couple of years ago, and right before I was supposed to come up to preach, I bent over or something, and my pants split all the way down. I mean, big hole about like that. Thank goodness I had some blue underwear or something, kind of looked like my... But I didn't at that time, I didn't have any extra pants in my office. I do now. But I was in my office when they split, and it was about time to start the service. And I thought to myself, it's got to go on. It's got to happen. So I kind of edged down against the wall, kind of sideways, you know, and I made my way around here, and nobody saw it. And I preached a message with my pants split wide open in the back. Because it's got to get done. It's got to get done. You know, the first time I got COVID, several years ago when COVID first became a thing, and I got it on a Saturday night. About 7, 8 o'clock at night, I began to realize I got a fever. And I had my message ready for Sunday and everything, but here I am. I can't go and put everybody at risk. So you know what I did? I was going to try to pray and stuff, and I prayed, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I realized I'm not going to be able to make it to church. So I went out to my shed. I think it was cold, too. I went out to my shed. I should have brought a picture of that. There's a video on the internet. I filmed myself with my phone, and I gave my message at 3 o'clock in the morning with my head on fire, with fever, sweating, feeling like I can't think straight, really down. And I gave my message, and I finished it about 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I run it up here, and I loaded it onto the computer and got everything ready for a different kind of service, left notes and called people when it was time they would get up. Sprayed everything down with Lysol and then went back home. I would have preached it if I could come sick, I would. But I didn't want to, you know, put people at risk. And I preached, and they showed the message. And like I said 2 weeks ago, it's because I love this church. I know pastors are supposed to love the church. But you know, before I was a pastor, I loved this church. You know why I'm pastor? Because when I wasn't pastor, I loved this church. And I've always been willing to do whatever I could to make sure that the sheep are fed here at this church, and that people's lives are changed. Because the moment I was in this church 27 years ago, and the moment that light came on, that Jesus was up there dying on my cross, everything changed for me. I didn't just lightly get saved. I didn't say I'll go a toe in or foot in. I was all in from then on. I was whole hog, and I've been that way. I went to church. I said, what do you do? I said, I play music. They put me on the stage. I mean, it was about 2 months later, I was leading praise and worship. I didn't even know the songs. I'd never heard Christian songs in my life. My guitar is still smelling like smoke from the nightclubs. I led praise and worship. I couldn't sing. I'd have to look back at Rick. Rick would be on the drums. And I'd say, how does this next one go? He'd say, boom, chaka-boo. And then somebody would tell me the lyrics, and then I'll start singing. I made a fool of myself many times. I stood up there before and had to start. This was when the church had like 400 members. And I got to the second song, and I couldn't remember how it goes. And I started it, and I did it wrong, and I said, hold, stop. And I had to stop the song like 3 times. And I said, I didn't say nothing. You know, really, I wanted to run off the stage. I don't know if you've ever been, you know, in front of the microphone or whatever, and just everything falls apart. That is the worst feeling ever. There's nothing you can do. And I wanted to run. And I think everybody on the stage wanted to run. But then somebody in the congregation began to sing the song they knew I was trying to get started. They began to give me the melody in the congregation. And I said, oh, okay. And I got the rhythm in my head. And then I joined with the congregation. And we played that song. And when it was over, it was wonderful that we had joined together. And they had lifted me up in my time of need. We had all come together and made it happen. That's the way it's supposed to work in the church. I have always loved this church. And when I got saved, I got saved. Because it was a divine revelation. Because my life was falling apart before then. Nothing made sense. I was so angry at the world because nothing made sense. They was telling me we came from pond scum that turned into monkeys, that evolved into people. And that just didn't give me any sense of worth. If I'm just pond scum, if we just live and we just die and that's it, the end of everything, what good is it to even live? And I was mad and nothing made sense. Evolution, all these things that the world was trying to tell me. Politics was driving me nuts. I was a donkey on the edge. I mean, I was bad. But when Jesus came into my heart, when I understood it was my cross he was dying on, then he sent his spirit into my heart, you see? And that's what changed everything. That divine revelation caused faith in my heart. And that faith in my heart caused me to open up my life and give Jesus lordship. And he sent his spirit into my heart crying, Abba, Father. And when his spirit came in, that's what changed me. That's what gave me the power to begin to overcome the sin. That's what gave me the power to look into his word and to begin to get further revelation. You know, the Bible is foolishness to the unbeliever. They don't have the spirit of God, and spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. You can't understand the things of God unless you have the spirit of God. And once I got the Spirit of God, things began to make sense. And then creation began to make sense. God's plan of salvation made sense. My purpose, that I am special to God, began to make sense. That God does care about me. God does want to use my life. It all began to make sense. And that's what happened when Jesus asked his disciples that time, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say, you know, Elijah come back, or maybe John the Baptist or whatever. And they was throwing out some names. And Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter got a divine revelation. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say? In Matthew 16, 18, he said, I say unto you that you are Peter. I'm changing your name, Simon. That's his name, was Simon. He had never heard the name Peter. That wasn't his nickname until this point. And Jesus said, I'm naming you Peter now, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. It was that same divine revelation that opened Peter's eyes. And it spilled out of his mouth. He said, you're the Christ. The Christ means the coming one, the Messiah, the one who's going to save us. You're the Christ. And you're the Son of the living God. You're God. And if that's true, oh, brothers and sisters, that changes everything. That divine revelation, how can you go back from that? Once you know that Jesus Christ, the one you've used his name as a cuss word, the one you thought was some fairy tale story from an ancient old dusty book that people are still holding on to for a crutch, you've got the revelation. No, this is the truth. He is the Christ. It stirs the faith in your heart to be saved, to ask him to come in, to give him permission to come in and to save you and give you eternal life. And you know what else? It gives him permission to begin to sanctify you. That means to begin to change you here, because we don't instantly go off to that eternal life, but eternal life starts the moment you receive Christ. And he leaves us here because there's a mission. He leaves us here because there's fields white to the harvest. He leaves us here because he wants you to join in and enjoy being a child of God and seeing others come to that divine revelation. Oh, what a divine revelation. Look at your neighbor and say, divine revelation. Jesus is the divine revelation, and Jesus is the foundation of a church. You know, we're in a series called We the Church. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. A lot of people try to make it about different stuff. Oh, that's the same old message my grandmama was preaching. Well, it is. It doesn't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the foundation that we have to build our lives upon. Isaiah the prophet foretold 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus in Isaiah 28:16. He says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and attested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. And whoever believes need never be shaken. And there is another divine relationship, revelation, I'm sorry, is that it's what we believe. It's not what we achieve. The divine revelation is that the revelation itself, the believing of the revelation, is the cornerstone on which the church is built. Some people, I'm not sure, But I believe, if not, the Catholic Church really took that calling Peter the rock on which the church, and I'll build my church on this rock. I believe their understanding is Peter was the thing. And so they made people of the bloodline of Peter the popes and gave them almost divine privileges to change up things if they want to along the way. Like, they really took that idea that Peter is the rock on which to... No, Jesus wasn't saying that Peter is the rock. Thank goodness. Jesus was saying that that divine revelation that you have, Peter, is the rock on which I will build my church. That divine revelation that I am the Christ. And if you'll call on my name, you will be saved. That's how we'll build the church. By what people believe. Does that make sense? Excuse me. Christ in us, it says, is the hope of glory. Doesn't it say that in the Bible? That Christ in us. How does Christ get in us? Through the divine revelation coming to us. God gives us the divine revelation and we respond and give Him lordship. He sets up His throne in our hearts. And Christ in us is the hope of glory in our life. I know I had no glory in my life before Jesus. Now, any glory that I have, I'm glad to give to Jesus. But I want to shine. I want to be like Moses. I wish I had so much glory up here today that I had to wear a veil so that you could even listen to me preach. There's a whole chapter in the Bible devoted to that. The glory that Moses had in the Old Testament, shouldn't the New Testament believers shine so much more? I want my life to be glorious for Him. And He is the divine revelation, and it's that we believe His divine revelation that makes us right and gives us forgiveness of our sins. To believe that He died on our cross. To believe that He was resurrected for our justification. And that if I call on His name, He will save me. That's how the church is built. It's not through some kind of man-made programs and building bigger buildings. It's by that revelation. And if Christ is the hope of our personal glory, He is certainly the hope of glory for the church. And we've already discussed that the church is what Jesus is building. Brother Joe preached last week, right? That I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus is doing something special on the earth. He is saving us individually, but He is using us collectively. He is using each one of us to come together as living stones, as Joe said, in the house of God, each playing our part to build a beautiful temple unto the Lord. And each one of us doing our part to make disciples, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so that's how He builds the church, and that's the hope of the glory of the church. The good news is I don't have to go convince somebody by the history books or by this or that that Jesus is real. I need to, by the simple preaching of the gospel, the good news. Either they get the divine revelation or they don't. And no man can come to the Father anyway unless he be drawn. So really, we water and we seed. And God brings the increase. But we get to play a part. Ephesians 1:22 says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. Let me just stop there. If you don't think you're special, you're part of the body of Christ. He has grafted you into Himself. You are part of the body of Christ. And the church is His body. And it is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. Wow. So you're saying, if we don't have Christ, we don't have anything. We don't have a church at all. We're not part of His body. But if we have Christ, and He fills all things everywhere with Himself, and we receive that, how does He fill everything with Himself? How do you suppose, here on the earth? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And if He fills us, all things everywhere, with Himself, then what does it say will happen? We will be made full and complete. Our church will be made full and complete. If we will all fill ourselves with the One who fills everything with Himself. If that divine revelation is that I can be filled. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. That is the hope of glory. I no longer live for myself, but I live for Him who gave Himself for me. I'm just a sojourner on this earth. I'm just passing through this valley, the shadow of death. Oh, but brothers and sisters, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over with the Spirit of God. I can feel myself being restored right now as I preach to you. I can feel myself being encouraged right now as I come back to that divine revelation, to that divine cornerstone, that divine understanding that Jesus fills everything, everywhere with Himself, those who will allow Him the throne of their life. And then we will be made full and complete. How does the church grow? They that labor, labor in vain, unless the Lord builds the house. Unless it's the Lord in us, then we have nothing to offer. The house of God cannot be built with just the works of the flesh. Just can't do it. There's no program we can put together, no amount of money if we had that we could buy our way into being the church that God wants to use. It is a yielding, the revelation, yielding to the divine revelation that Christ must sit on the throne of my heart. He must take first place. It wouldn't work if I was sitting on the throne of my life and saying, Jesus, You can come to my feet every now and then and give me some advice. Jesus, if You want to come in and bless me, and if I get in trouble, I'll call on You. What, Jesus, I realize I need You a little bit more. Won't You come scoot on, sit over here by, on the throne with me? I wish I could get to my message today, but I ain't. I'm on the way. The divine revelation is that He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation on which we build His church. I don't hear that preached anywhere. I just hear how Jesus can bless us, how we can get to heaven. Those are good things. That are true. But the truth is that He wants to fill you with Himself. And He wants you to build His church on His foundation. And if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all the things that you desire in this life will be given to you. And you will sense such importance in this purpose. You will be fulfilled. Now, I dare think that not one of you in this place this morning doesn't have longings for more, doesn't sense that there is something greater that I should be living for. Some of you have been beat down by the world. You've been talked down to. You've been abused. It's hard for you to see past the hurt. But I would still say there's something in deep down, in places that you rarely even go to, if ever, that is an unrest that is saying, it's like a call. Like deep is calling unto deep. Deep is going. God is calling and saying, there's more. There's more. And the more is in the surrender. Now, there's been times I said, oh, yeah. And it's usually those times I feel so broken like I do lately. Or I just say, Jesus, just take it all. I've never wanted anything but your will to be done. And I know I take up other things. I head off in the wrong direction, but Jesus, just take it all. But in my humanity, a few days go past, and I'm bumping him off the throne again. Let me get up here with you, Jesus. Let me make some of the decisions. Let me do my thing. Just give me this one thing. I understand. And I want you to know this. Jesus understands. He does. He knows how human we are. He knows. That's why there's forgiveness. That's why there's people he sends into your life to help restore you and to help encourage you. That's why it's so important that we be together. That's why assembling, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's why your life is not working if you're not assembling. If you are only coming once a month, it's probably because you're only coming when you get to the end of yourself and you're just like, my life is, I got to go to church. But that is not God's design. God's design is for you to build your entire life on that foundation of Jesus Christ. The divine revelation that he is your Savior. And that we come together, and when one of us is feeling down, somebody encourages him. When one of us is sick, they have somebody to pray for them. When somebody says, I don't have rent. That's all right, brother. Did you see the book of Acts? In the early church, when Jesus had been there and many of them knew him and the early church was starting, they sold all their possessions and they shared it amongst each other so that nobody would have lack and nobody would have too much. And David said in the Psalms, man, Lord, don't make me too rich or too poor. If I'm too poor, I might steal and dishonor your name. And if I'm too rich, I might forget about you and not realize my need for you. See, there is, within the church, for it to work properly, that's why you have to see that you're special, that you have special gifts and talents, that if you're not using, it won't work, and the church won't work right. If you're not coming, then the church won't work right. You say, but I don't never come anyway. The church don't need me. Maybe you are exactly what we're missing. Those of you who are not here today that only come once a month? Did God hook you up with us? Then you're special, and you have special gifts, special callings that God wants to use to build this church. He wants to fill you with himself and fill so this church can be filled with him. There'd be no lack, no schisms, or whatever that means in the Bible, King James. Everybody pulling together to give what they have. I'm not sure how that would look, but I believe if everybody would do what just what God's asking them to do, it wouldn't mean that you're at the church nonstop. You're 24/7. I think it might, for some of us, it might just be, I need to start tithing. For some of us, it might just be, I do need to serve in the church. I do need to find a department that I can give my gifts to. It might just be stepping in. And then the more people who give of themselves, then the less stress there is on the rest. And then everybody, no schisms. Is schism a word? Isn't it in the King James? Am I using it right? Maybe I need to check it out. I'm just throwing things out there. No lack. When everybody just gives, I think we'd be pleasantly surprised to find out how much God doesn't need from us. That if we would just be willing, we might find out that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I don't know. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But we got some people that's carrying too many yokes and too many burdens. And if that's you, I apologize. I'm sorry. I am sorry. Some of you carry too big a load here in the church. But I'm doing my best to encourage, not discourage, all of us to get involved. Whew. Well, I hadn't got past my opening yet. Church is a team concept. Unity. God asks for unity in the church. Now, unity is not uniformity. It's not sameness. It's not you trying to be like somebody else. It's you being the best version of you and using that for God's kingdom, where he'll show you and he'll get you in the right place eventually. But it's not, we all wear the same length dresses, and don't wear makeup or this or that. And I'm not doing neither of those, so. So see, I'd already be in trouble. No. It's not uniformity. Psalms 133 says how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountain of Zion. And listen to this. Harmony. Say harmony. Harmony. What would harmony look like in the church? And there, where? In the harmony, the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. We can do this. God's not saying uproot your whole life. He's saying when you come, truly come to worship me. Let's get that part right. And then let's begin to ask God out of our adoration for him, what is it in my life that you can use so that we can all pull together in harmony and we can find this blessing that you promise? Ephesians 4:16 says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Say special work. Didn't I say you were special? Didn't I tell you were special? makes the whole body fit together perfectly. You feel like you don't have anything to give, but you do. He puts you here because you fit. With you, we are made perfect. Without you, we are imperfect. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. He has some special work for you. I don't know what it is. And it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. John 15:8 says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to the Father. God wants us to produce fruit, and He wants us to do it together. I guess I'm going to close. I got a whole lot more to talk about. Really, I didn't get past my opening today. And I shared my heart. And I tell you what's going to happen. Do y'all wish I would stop being so open with you? Because when you get to the end of yourself, you just get to where you just laying it out. I got nothing to lose here. You understand? I got nothing to lose. If Christ be Lord, let Him be Lord. But I can tell you what's going to happen. Because I was so open with you today and shared my heart and shared my weakness, and because I laid out things before you today and pleaded with us to each do our part, in a time where many of you are already doing more, I can hear Angie's talking in my head right now. So many people are already doing everything. We just don't have enough people. We don't fuss at the sheep that are already doing. You know, and she's right. But that doesn't mean the football coach doesn't come out in me every now and then, and I lay it out and say, come on, guys. I know it's hard. Y'all seen the movie where the football movie, what's it called? Facing the Giants, where he's carrying the guy on his back, and the coach is, come on, you can do it. Go, go, go. Well, that's one of these days. But I can tell you, when I have one of these days, and it's few and far between, that I just lay it all out for you. And I tell you what I'm thinking. When the service is over, I'm going to smile, and I'm going to tell you I love you, and I'm going to act like everything is good, but the devil is going to attack me all week. He's going to attack me and say, you can't be that honest with those people. You can't plead with them like that. You can't open up. You're pushing too much on them. And I'm going to just, Angie knows, and she tries to help me. And I have a history of, I've revealed this to you, of condemnation from, you know, growing up in the Catholic Church, where you got to tell a man your sins and say a certain amount of prayers to be forgiven. I got a history of beating myself down. I know that's got to change. I know a lot of things got to change here. You know what hurts me the most is just to think that we're not where we're supposed to be. Maybe we are, but maybe we're not where we're supposed to be because I'm not the leader I need to be. And I've been just crying lately. I've just been crying because I don't want to fail God. I don't want to fail you. I want to be what He needs me to be. And if it means throwing it out there, that's what I'm going to do. I got nothing to lose. I've already gone whole hog. So, please pray for me. Please pray for each other. Anita's dad passed before the service. I believe everybody in here has made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you haven't, then I'll be up here after the service. You can talk with me, and I'll tell you that divine revelation. And if your heart is ready to receive it, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. You might be thinking, well, after hearing you, what you're going through, I don't know if I will. Look, I took steroids for that sickness last week. It's got my mind messed up. I'm on some new blood pressure medicine. It's got my mind messed up. It's been a very difficult time. My mom's living with us. She's fallen, and she can't get around. And we're like full-time caregivers. So, yeah. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So I came today, not meaning to say all this, but I came today, and I preached myself happier. And I stirred myself up in the Lord, just like David. And if that's what I have to do, that's what I have to do. But I promise you this, I'm going to be a better pastor. I'm going to do better to encourage you. I'm going to do more to spend time with my leaders, re-encourage them. And so you pray and see if there's God's putting anything on your heart to do, okay? Let's pray. Father, I give the devil no place to take what I've shared this morning and cause it to bring division of any kind, to cloud it, to make it seem like I said something I didn't, to cause people to feel like I was getting on them. I'm just encouraging them, Lord. I'm encouraging myself. We are the church, Father. We are your church. And if we ain't doing it right, we want to know. There's something that we need to do. If we're building on a foundation off to the side somewhere, we don't want to do that. We have torn down everything, Father. Our programs and our processes have come to a halt. We're at the place of coming on Sunday and coming just simply to worship you, that we may build on this foundation for sure. A sure foundation. Lord, I pray that you put it in every one of our hearts to do our special work and to understand how special we are to your body of Christ and how special we are to you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Listening to the podcast today. We hope you enjoyed it and that it inspires you to live out God's Word. For more information, visit us at www.mypassion.church.